today on Real Radio.
When you talk about the Word of God, you're talking about Jesus Christ. And when you see his life lived out in the scriptures and what he said and taught and did, you're looking at the will of God with skin on it, walking and living and moving among you. The will of God. Jesus is the expressed will of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're glad you joined us today. You know, arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah. By arriving, of course, we mean a succession of events and fulfillments of Bible prophecy, including the physical return of Jesus Christ to the earth. In the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 64, we learned that Christ will arrive physically in the second coming to do battle. He will come to set things right by establishing his form of government in Jerusalem. Judgment has come to the earth, and the nations will have to answer for how they treated Israel. Many of the Jews will be deceived by the Antichrist during the seven-year tribulation period, but the faithful who believe Jesus to be the Messiah will be delivered. So today on day 2 of Isaiah chapter 64, Pastor Jack tells us that we have to decide whether we're going to walk our own path or wait on the Lord and let him lead. And we need the mind of Christ and his wisdom to understand the scriptures and what the will of God is for our lives. And now continuing his lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 9 is Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is not only quoting Isaiah here, but with commentary of the Spirit of God. This is amazing. Watch. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So number one, the difference between walking in our own wisdom and our own knowledge and impulses versus waiting upon God, Paul says, echoing Isaiah 64, the first thing that we need to realize is God's got a plan. Your eyes have not seen, nor has your ears heard, or has it entered into your mind the things that God has prepared for you. Think of it. Good stuff. Great things. God says. And then Paul gives the amazing statement that Isaiah never had. Verse 10, but we have the mind of Christ. So what does that mean? That means when you and I wait upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit will bring to our minds as we wait the will of God in your life. That's the mind of Christ. What's the mind of Christ? It is the expressed representative in revelation of the will of God. When you talk about the Word of God, you're talking about Jesus Christ. And when you see his life lived out in the scriptures and what he said and taught and did, you're looking at the will of God with skin on it, walking and living and moving among you. The will of God. Jesus is the expressed will of God. So when we wait upon him, Paul says, we've got the mind of Christ on these things. The only time you and I make mistakes is when you and I are calling the shots. Unfortunately, we do that too often. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded, fleshly, flesh concerned, appetite concerned. Minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the earthly mind, is enmity against God, at war with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is life here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12 to 15. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 15. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit. Notice, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches. Oh, that's awesome. Men's wisdom, the wisdom of this world, is deaf. You're not of the world. You don't get it. Look at what's going on right now. You can pick any gender you want. Why limit to 64? If you can imagine it, you can do it. You'll never get out of biology class thinking like that. You'll never pass chemistry class. What is that? Here's the weird thing. People say stuff and start stuff and move stuff, and somebody in the world says, that's awesome. That's right on. And then you hear another person, that's right on. Did you see in the news the actress has declared her child to be an opposite gender of the child? I forget who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. But either it's a boy and she's saying, no, you're a girl, you're a girl. I want to be a boy. No, you're a girl, you're a girl. Ladies and gentlemen, that's child abuse. You say, how can you say that? Because it's scientific. Because it's ethical. Because it's moral. Because it's obvious. See what's happening. Don't worry. Cheer up, believer. God said in the last days, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. Light will become darkness, and darkness will become light. And those who live or practice in that, he said, are of the world. And nobody wants to talk about this. And yet, people are dying and being abused. Verse 14, still in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. I love that. The spiritual person just looks at stuff and says, wow, that's great. That's crazy. This is truth. That's a falsehood. And then the world turns around and judges the believer. And Paul the Apostle saying, I don't care. Don't you love this? I love it. This is a big part of my life personally. I was held captive by fear too long in my life. I was too much damaged. And then Jesus came into my life and it's like, all right. All that stuff of the world and its wisdom, right. I saw that and it's death. So you know what? He's life. He's freedom, he's liberty, he's joy, and I'm not gonna go back to that world that I came out of, and the world will say, you're crazy. Then I'm crazy. Oh, you're one of those Christians? Well, if you define Christian as a Christ follower, then yes. Then yeah. How can you say, what a bigot? Right on. You know what, you? Lay it on me. Why? How can you? Listen, it's not personal. Do you understand that? It's not personal. Because I'm with Paul. Nobody can judge me. Nobody can judge you. Only, that's why Christians were not allowed to condemn anyone. We are to judge things, as the Paul just said a moment ago, discern. Discern. Fruit inspect. But condemn, we're not allowed to condemn. No one has that authority but God only. And we would never dare. Well, I don't think that guy's a Christian. We can't say that. Only God knows that. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't know their makeup. You don't know the tool set that they were handed in life. You don't know. God knows. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, 18. Listen, as I read this, you're going to either muse on the things of God or you're going to muse on the things of the world. So I've kind of set you up for this. But I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I think most of you are, if not all of you, are believers tonight. But think about this. Where will you go with your meditation, with your muse, with your pondering, with your focus? You're going to go one or the other. And because our world is not seeking God, listen to what happens. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed. The word in the Greek means it's actually unfolding. It's already in the works. It's coming undone now, tonight. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Hold it down, sequester, stomp the truth down in unrighteousness. How come? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God's word says, I have shown to all people something. Well, what is it? And here you go, Isaiah. For since the creation or the beginning of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. I find that fascinating because when you go to or read about or learn about a distant culture that's somewhere in the world, maybe in South America, jungle, running around, spears, they worship. They may worship the canopy of the forest because that's where the monkeys fall from. Did you know that? They worship the canopy of the rainforest because they've determined that it's the canopy where the monkeys and the birds live that they shoot and eat, that the canopy must be God. You see, why is that? Because that's where our sustenance comes from. They worship ignorantly, but they worship. God says, I will reveal myself to them. Now, are we supposed to preach the gospel to all the world? Yes, and many of you do. Wednesday night, I don't know if you know this or not, if you're visiting, Wednesday night, all 100% of their tithes and offerings on Wednesday night goes to getting the Bible preached out around the entire globe. You're fulfilling the word of God, just Wednesday nighters alone. So that's pretty awesome. We're commanded to do that. But what if we don't cover some place in South America or some place in Siberia? God's got it covered. God's got it covered. He reveals himself, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal God and power. Look, so that they are without excuse. Why? Because although they knew God, or they knew the existence of God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So be careful where you ponder, friend. You're going to go one way or the other, of the world or of God. The choice is yours. Verse 4 picks it up. Who acts for the one who waits for him. The word act here in Hebrew is the word, this is of God. This is of God. He's the one who gets involved. It means that he engages. Look, the word means he stands up on your behalf. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Listen, you don't have to wait to cry out to him for him to get involved in the believer's life. He is involved in your life. He's with you wherever you go. And then the word waits is the word too. We sang it a moment ago. By the way, I love when this happens. The word here is in the Bible. I don't tell the worship people what songs to sing. I'm learning them right in the moment you are. And the word wait here means to wait with anticipation, to sit with longing and expectancy, and in the context is for the Lord. The believer, listen, from Old Testament to New Testament, the believer is supposed to be by supernatural nature, born-again nature. It's native within us as his followers to be excited and expectant about him. David said, one thing have I desired, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Listen, that's the believer, Old to New Testament. It's the Holy Spirit in your life. Are you excited about seeing Jesus? He might come tonight by trumpet blast. He may come tonight to you by heart attack. Listen, will you see Jesus when you die? All those who trust the Lord will. And the scripture says, listen, you wait with me with anticipation and excitement. I'm in your presence. I'm there. It's awesome to think about that. I love the power of our God. Verse 5, you meet him who rejoices and does righteousness. In other words, God blesses obedience. Who remembers you in your ways. The thoughts of God. The Bible says again, I've set the Lord always before my mind. You can't do that without reading the Bible. You got to have the Bible to do that. You got to get it in you before it comes out of you. Verse 5 continues, you are indeed angry, speaking about God. God is angry, for we have sinned. That's right. God is angry when we sin. If you're a parent, you're angry. It's a weird kind of an anger. When your kid does something really, really dumb, and it's really going to hurt them. In fact, I'll just say this among us tonight. Have you ever had your kid, you tell them, now don't do that. You're going to slip and hurt yourself. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to slip and hurt yourself. And they do exactly what you told them not to do. And they slip and hurt themselves. And as a parent, and it's like God, except he's righteous and I'm unrighteous, you want to spank them. You don't, because they're already wounded. They fell off the fence and they cracked their nut or whatever's going on. And you just go, because they hurt themselves, you're upset with them. And it's like, you know what? As soon as you recover, we're going to spank you. Of course, you don't do that, but you want to. Do you know that feeling? Now, we're messed up, fallen people, but God has that righteously. Jack, did you do that? Yes, Lord. Get over here. Do you hear me? That's him. And only he disciplines in love. Only he can the way it ought to be done. Wow, listen to this. In the ways we continue, we need to be saved, verse 5 ends. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Filthy rags, I cannot tell you the meaning of that word. I can, I'm not going to, you'll get sick. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Is that not true? When you sin, when you disobey God, isn't it like the wind just blowing you away? I mean, it's just everything gets disheveled and messed up and confused. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For God have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. It's powerful. In Proverbs chapter 28, you can write this along your margins with the time remaining, verses 13 to 14. Listen to this. Proverbs 28 answers to this. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses, listen to this, whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Is that wisdom? This is awesome. The person, listen, for all of us, when we sin against God and we try to hide it, we don't get it out. When we hide it, God says, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to do well. There's a lot of Christians suffering tonight who have sin hidden in their life, and they won't deal with it, and they'll never rise above the fog. They'll never. God wanted to do so much more with them. He wanted to blow their minds with his generosity and ministry or influence or whatever. And they've hamstrung themselves from being used by God because they're so proud they won't take it to him. And he says, if you give it to me, what's 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Don't blow it and then try to cover it up. In fact, Numbers 32, 23 says, but if you do not do so, that is obey, if you do not obey, then take note of this. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure of this, your sin will find you out. The word out in Hebrew means to spring up like a bubbling spring. So you put a rock on it. Oh no! And you put a big stone on it, and it looks okay for a little bit, and then you see a little trail of water coming out from under the rock, and then 2 feet away, some water comes up over there. And the word to spring up or to fountain up, you're trying to stop it, and here's what happens. What? Listen, when you hide and cover your sin, God, if you're a child, look, if you're not a believer, relax. Nothing's going to happen to you in the short term. It gets real hot later, but that's for another day. Listen, the unbeliever is not chastised by God. God doesn't spank kids that are not his. Spiritually, spank, you know what I mean? Chastise you. The believer who knows the Lord, he'll chastise them. And your sin will find you out. If you don't bring it up to the surface, God will bring it up. And you ever seen those like 1960s Route 66 cafe diner neon sign? It's like, eat at Joe's. You know the sign goes, zzz, 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 and it's this big red finger pointing to Joe's diner. That's the picture. Think of that in your mind. He said, oh, no, nobody knows my sin. Nobody knows, nobody knows. And God goes, zzz, 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 with the red finger. It's going to come up. It's going to come up. Blessed is the man, James chapter 1:12. Blessed is the man, James 1:12, who endures temptation. Hang in there, friends, church family, fight. Fight against temptation. Well, she batted her eyelids at me. Fight. Oh, he's so strong. Fight. Oh, man, they offered me this job, and it's a lot of money, as long as I lie and cheat about. Fight. You hear me? Stand strong. Resist. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say that when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. Why is God doing this to me? She knocked on my door, and she said she wanted to have she needed a cup of milk at 2:00 in the morning. You open the door, bozo, you're in trouble. Okay, you don't do that. And you don't say, well, God, what's God doing? He was not in it. Fight. So let no one say when he's tempted by God, for God cannot tempt by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away, number one, by his own desires. See, the desire starts in the heart. Ooh, maybe. Nobody's looking. You see, in the heart. Starts in the heart. And then enticed, what does that mean? The thought enters your head, falls down in your heart, and you cook it. Well, you know what? What about this? And then that? Oh, well, okay. It starts stewing. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? Today's a great day for me to just turn into a total reprobate. And you don't do that. It's so subtle. But the Holy Spirit's there always speaking. He's always speaking. Look. Then when desire has conceived, that's creepy. It gives birth to sin. When it is full grown, brings forth death. But do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. What a tremendous word that is. And so he ends, look at verses 8 to 12. We'll end with this here. The perception of God's people. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. And all we are the work of your hand.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5. Isn't this a great lesson? And you know, our prayer is that you choose to follow Christ, as he's prepared amazing things for those who love him. Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.